Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Minneapolis. With me is Greg Velasquez in Des Moines. We talk about U.S. men's soccer. The U.S. beat Ecuador 1-0 in Orlando on Thursday night. It was not, for the most part, a match that quickened the pulse, but the U.S. outpossessed Ecuador, a respectable South American opponent, 62-38, and Berhalter now has 3 games and 3 wins since taking over the national team. We face Chile on Tuesday, but first, let's glean what we can from this friendly. Greg, how are you?
Bells, I think I'm happier than maybe a lot of other U.S. fans are. I feel like a lot of the reaction to the game was sort of a ho-hum, almost like a boredom from that performance.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching us totally control a game. We may not have pounded the goal with shots, but I don't think there's any question that we were the aggressor.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We were the better team.
So it must be said, Ecuador were very willing to be aggressed.
Yeah. What's the opposite of aggressive? Passive. They were passive, to say the least. Let's quick run through the lineup, see if anything surprised us. It was Sean Johnson in goal, Tim Ream at left back, and he was the captain. John Brooks and Aaron Long were the center backs. Tyler Adams was the famous inverted right back. And then Will Trapp at the 6. Pulisic and McKennie at the 8s/10s, and then Morris and Areola on the wings with Zardes up top. Were you surprised by anything? Is there anything worthy of comment here?
No, I think thanks to Berhalter's transparency, we were pretty confident in most of the picks, and the Morris one was the one I wasn't locked on. Could have been Baird Morris or Yedlin, but it wasn't like a huge surprise that it was Jordan Morris.
No, I'd say the only really big surprise for me was Tim Ream being named captain. That was kind of
that's a left field one, isn't it?
Nobody would have predicted that. And then a little surprise Trap started over Bradley, but not that surprised. And
same for Long and Miazga. I wasn't sure that would happen, but you know, Long was captain in January and showed well enough there. Lost his armband to Tim Ream.
Right. Yeah, I think Berhalter was careful to let everyone know that the captain choice isn't something we should put a lot of stock in at this point.
Oh, I'm putting stock in it. But I think Aaron Long should feel aggrieved.
All right. Well, what we need is more people feeling aggrieved in this country. So Ecuador, as you mentioned, made it very difficult for the U.S. to do anything in the penalty area. Why don't you give us a tactical breakdown?
The tactical breakdown was basically Ecuador sat in a very low block, but then, and this is kind of reminiscent of Panama, they didn't actually counter out of it. So they sat in a super low block, and then when they would win it, they pretty quickly gave the ball back to us. It was such a low block that we routinely had all three of Brooks, Long, and Ream up all the way past the circle in the attacking side, just calmly knocking the ball around. The line of confrontation for Ecuador was ridiculous. I feel like they were just at that stadium to collect a check.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Did you notice anything tactically Ecuador did that was interesting at all?
There were a couple times where they tried to hit that space vacated by Adams, but they didn't do it with a lot of conviction. And we were able to cover that space pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, credit to Long and Brooks for the times they did have to cover. It was mostly those two covering. Ream would kind of help balance us out so that Brooks was a little more free to support Aaron Long as Aaron Long went out to press the ball, but not a lot to do for the defenders in this game. It felt a lot like that Panama game.
Yeah, I guess if I were an Ecuador fan and I were analyzing this match, I would be kind of pissed, I think.
I'd be pissed if I spent money on a ticket, even if I lived here in the States and I wanted to go watch my Ecuadorians play and saw that game.
Is it, maybe there's some kind of 4D chess going on here where they're they're practicing defensive shape and defensive solidity like, I don't know.
90-minute drill. Twelman did point out that they were running like three defensive midfielders in sort of a Jurgen Klinsmann style formation.
Yeah, one of them being Carlos Grezo, who's been pretty good for FC Dallas so far this year.
So that really low block that they set up in made it hard to tell if they were just doing a good job keeping us out of the penalty area or if we sort of just aren't skilled enough. I'm sure it's a combination of both, but like we were a bit sloppy as we approached those smaller spaces, and could never really get anything going. I think almost all of our best chances came off of like accidental touches, including the goal. But and as I think if you go down your timeline, I'll jump in on the ones that I thought were inadvertent setups. One little wrinkle for the US's approach was that Tyler Adams didn't immediately inhabit the Nick Lemer role,
No.
the heretofore and always hence Nick Lemer role. He started out as like almost like a traditional right back. Is that what you saw?
Yeah, I saw a pass map. I think Andrew Wiebe, the MLS guy, tweeted it out. In the first 15 minutes, Adams occupied basically the touch line. And then after that is when he moved inside and started operating more in that Nick Lima role.
So I don't know what the rationale there was, whether if it was just to let everyone settle into the game. I doubt it was anything that they cued in on that Ecuador were doing, but once he started popping up in the middle, suddenly that's when I feel like we completely dominated the game and the tempo and the rhythm of things, and it was mostly Adams and Will Trapp.
Yeah, both of whom had quite good games, in my opinion. Let's run through the timeline just to note the big moments of the game. There were not a lot, but the first half offered some action for the viewer. Start in the second minute, Will Trapp dropped a dime in behind for Areola. Did you notice that ball?
Oh yeah. It was, and he didn't have it like it was. He didn't have as much space to hit that ball as he had in the second half against Costa Rica when he hit his big diagonals that everyone was happy about. And I thought he had less room to put it too. Like he had a defender a little closer to Areola. The timing had to be a little bit better. So it was a picture perfect ball.
Sort of hit with the outside of his boot softly. It sort of sat up nicely on the grass, and Areola got to it first, and he tried to pass to Zardes, I think. I think he was trying to pass to Zardes. I'm not entirely sure if he spotted Weston McKennie arriving at the penalty spot, but his pass was blocked, and if it was aimed at McKennie, it wasn't that accurate.
And it was blocked like chest high, right? Like he basically shot it across the top of the 6-yard box.
Yeah, it would have been a little behind Zardes, which is why I maybe think he was aiming for McKennie. Don't know, but McKennie was wide open, and if that had been an accurate pullback, that would have been our third best chance of the first half. And so credit to Trapp on that sequence. I thought that was really nice. Sixth minute, we got a nice bit of combination play. I think you might bring in the factor of fortune on this one, but it was Trapp to McKennie to Trapp to Pulisic to McKennie to Pulisic, and then Pulisic kind of settled himself and dinked it in behind for Adams on just coming in on the right wing. Adams's cross was cut out for a corner. There was a lot of pinballing going on in there.
I didn't I, on that one. I don't remember any deflections off of Ecuador players. I feel like it was a little bit. Everything was a little hot, like almost just too hot to handle for all the American guys. But they all managed to at least solve it with a touch towards another player who could sort of do the same thing until it found its way to Adams, who sort of just hit it straight into a Ecuador leg for a corner.
And then on the corner, Pulisic picked out McKennie at the marker, and McKennie headed it just wide, maybe a yard or two wide of the far post. So that was another pretty good chance. Then not a lot happened until the 26th minute, which is when there was a combination sort of in the same area of the field, right in the zone 14. Trapp to McKennie to Zardes to McKennie. Zardes did well in this play, I thought. And then McKennie passed it, sort of a sliding pass across the middle of the box that was too Pulisic, but Pulisic didn't get a clean touch on it, and it fell to Areola coming in on the back post. I don't know what the XG on this shot was, but it's maybe more than one. I don't know.
It was a good save. Everyone's going to throw out the he should have buried that or he has to bury that. It was a good save. But on that one, on that sequence, there were two little fortunate moments. One maybe is a little bit of a stretch to call luck, but Zardes's ball to McKennie was all the wrong weight. You know what I mean? And I know it's tough because the spaces are tight, but he really put McKennie in a spot where he couldn't really do much. And McKennie salvaged the play with that sliding touch over to Pulisic.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the one. And then Pulisic, I think, kind of just mistouched it, right? Like, I don't think Pulisic was intending to dummy that over to Areola. I think he was trying to, like, turn and do something.
Yeah, he had no idea Areola was there.
It was kind of like his Bundesliga assist from a couple of weeks ago.
Right. He was trying to step on it, I think, and then drag it around to take a left-footed shot. That's what it looked like to me.
So if we're being picky, it's one of those where I think Berhalter's been stressing finding that late wide runner, and it got to him, but not intentionally. So hopefully we just learn from that to know that that guy's coming late. So if everyone else is, if all the other defenders are accounted for, get it on over to Areola.
Right. Yeah. It was a really good chance. And I acknowledge that it was a good save, I guess, but if Areola hits it at either post, you know, he had a big window on either side. If you look at the replay from behind the goal, easy for me to say.
If he hits it
sitting here anywhere in my socks.
I'm going to point out too, I'm being super picky. One of the big criticisms for the last 7 or 8 years for the U.S. has been we don't get any passes in that zone 14 or in passes connected into the penalty box. And here we're connecting like four passes in the penalty box, and I'm like, yeah, but they weren't super clean, so. So I'm gonna go ahead and note that. And that's why I'm happier than I think a lot of the other, like, it's a big sign of progress that we are putting ourselves in through our possession, putting ourselves into these situations where we're connecting 3-4 passes in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. So a few minutes later, 30th minute, Adams picks up a pass from Long, sort of coming back towards the center back, very much playing in the midfield at this point. He takes a touch and then passes to Trapp, who's more in the middle of the field. And Trapp picks out McKennie, who turns and slides it wide to Morris. Morris crosses for Zardes, who scuffs the tap in, and it falls to Areola in the back post, and he slams it into the back of the net. It looked like a goal, but the flag had gone up on Jordan Morris on the pass from McKennie. I don't think he was offside. And reasonable people can disagree about that, but it was called offside, so the goal was disallowed.
Yeah, and that's another one of those accidental touches where, Zardes just misses the tap-in. Whole reason Zardes is in the game is to score on his one touch, after our fantastic build-up, and he failed to do it. So I for me, like, that still counts in his assessment and his evaluation. Because he's got to bury that.
He does have to bury that.
If I can use that phrase. I don't use it very often, but he has to at least make contact with the soccer ball.
Put it on frame, as they say. Luckily for him, he scored a golazo later in the game.
Which I'm sure we'll get to.
There are only like three more major moments left in the game, so we'll get to it pretty soon. In the 32nd minute, Ecuador had their only really big chance of the game, I thought. Renato Ibarra picked up the ball on the left wing facing Tyler Adams 1v1. Adams corralled him easily. Adams looks so comfortable defending wide out there. But then Bader Caicedo, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, snuck in behind an unalert Jordan Morris, shook free in the box. Ibarra slid it to him, and Caicedo had a kind of a point blank shot from a little bit of an angle and flashed it right over the crossbar. That was probably the biggest chance of the game for Ecuador, and it was the only scored shot that they registered.
Yeah.
in the game.
Totally on Jordan Morris. It kind of reminded me a lot of how Pulisic looked playing in a defensive, like outside mid role against England in that friendly, where it was
Yeah.
easy to just catch him napping, and he's not in position to be aware of those runs all the time. It makes you wonder if that's one of the reasons Yedlin's being considered for that role, or one of the ways Yedlin could be stronger, I guess I should say, in that outside mid role in defense.
Yeah, because that situation's going to arise a few times every game, even if we're dominating like we did against Ecuador.
I want to back up too, just a little bit on that sequence. If we it actually like started way on the other side of the field, where Ecuador like just cleared a long ball out to our left sideline, and you pointed this out in our chat. It was just a long ball up that any normally is always just eaten up by one of us, like a center back, just heading it forward again. Tim Ream did not win a single header this game, did he?
I don't think so. Yeah, he was very poor in the air.
Ecuador would just lump the ball up, and Tim Ream like jumps up for it, and the ball falls like 3 feet short of where his highest point is, and Ecuador's player just gets underneath it instead. And usually those are just bread and butter for center backs. So you had already said it, so I was watching for it, and they won that ball and went on to eventually get their best chance. So I was like, come on, Tim Ream, solve these problems early for us so we don't have to deal with it later. Don't make Jordan Morris defend very much.
Right. Yeah, he's a Premier League center back. You'd think he would, win some of those aerial duels, but he did not.
All right, what was the next event?
Not that much happened in the second half, and I think it's partly because of what happened in the 63rd minute. Wes McKennie, who I thought was growing into the game a little bit, we can talk about that more later. He went up to challenge a bouncing ball in typical, damn the torpedoes fashion. Sort of a nothing situation. He just went crashing through a guy, and he was whistled for a foul, but he also came down hard on his left ankle. Looked like it really hurt, and that took a while to sort out. He had to be stretchered around the field. Oh, man, I hope it's not too serious. Even if it's
It
just an ankle
looked
sprain,
gruesome.
yeah.
Yeah, it looked gruesome, man. You see that, and then you don't anticipate him back anytime soon. You hope for the best, but
Certainly not for the game on Tuesday against Chile.
no, like crossing your fingers for the Gold Cup.
Yeah, don't say that, please.
I'm only laughing because I mean it sucks. It'd be a harsh blow for McKennie.
Yeah, and sort of another few months, we'll have to wait to see him at his best for the national team because he didn't have a fantastic first half. By any stretch. Okay, final moment of the game that we're going to mention here was the goal, and it came from the foot of Jahzy Zardes and the foot of an Ecuador defender. Tim Ream cut out a lofted pass from a defender, an Ecuador defender, and then made a nice quick pass to Zardes in space. Zardes dribbled and then took a speculative shot. It popped up on a deflection, really looped up. Somewhat reminiscent of the Lionel Messi chip from the weekend.
I can't believe you just compared those two shots.
And snuck in past the Ecuador goalkeeper, who surely did not cover himself with glory.
Yeah, I mean we have to talk about it because it's a goal, but from an assessment, again, from an assessment standpoint, I don't know what the expected goals is on Zardes as he strikes that ball, but it's not high. He's
Yeah.
23 yards out. There's a defender between him and the goalkeeper. Pretty close, so the angle's pretty well cut down. I mean, obviously close enough. That's why it took the deflection. But it's not something where it's not a repeatable. It's not a sustainable strategy.
No. Yeah, I guess in some sense the soccer gods meted out justice with it because of the chances that we squandered or the referee took away from us in the first half. It ended up being, I think, a just result. 1-0 seems about right for the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's it for the timeline. So,
Yeah, I gotta agree with you on the timeline
it's
for notable events.
pretty thin one. What do we take away from this? What do we take away from this game? You want to run through some individual performances or start with the big picture?
Let's just because we kind of went through all these events one by one, like I think the big picture for me is what was going on between all these events. And it was a very methodical United States possession game. And I just we don't get to we never get to talk about the methodical possession of the United States soccer team on the
Yeah.
men's side. So that was my big takeaway, and that's why I was actually really happy because this was game one with this group, and it already looked, again, I'm looking for coherence and coordination, and it looked like both of those things were present.
Yeah, like I said up at the top, 62% possession for the US. One shot, zero shots on goal from Ecuador. Yeah, I mean we controlled the game. We didn't, like we talked about in the timeline, we didn't look very dangerous for most of the game, and even when we did look dangerous, it was kind of a result of a scramble, you know?
Right. I'm just happy that our possession can allow those scrambles to be happening at the penalty marker instead of at the edge of the circle where we're having to win some scrambles.
But you wonder if, like, there are scrambles more at the center circle, then that puts players like McKennie and Pulisic in a better position to attack. If Pulisic emerges from a scramble in the center circle with the ball, then I'm not saying we shouldn't possess the ball.
You actually want to just take Schalke's tactics wholesale.
Yes. Yeah. Just kick it long and hope for moments of transition in the middle third. No, I guess what I'm trying to get to is a discussion of Pulisic and McKennie, because those were the, at least for me, the performances I was most interested in seeing. I wanted to see how those two did in the middle of the field. And I don't think either of them had a good game. McKennie certainly didn't have a good game. He was way too sloppy right from kickoff. It started with a really nice pass from John Brooks between the lines that McKennie just took a heavy touch on, and that kind of set the tone for his first half, I thought.
Yeah, the same thing happened again in the first half, and you could see he was visibly frustrated with himself. And it sucks because his first touch was so like uncharacteristically sloppy. We never really got to see what he would do with his decision making and like what he would do when he actually got to turn up and run at somebody, because he didn't get himself that far. We lost out earlier in the sequence. So yes, it was. I'd say it was disappointing given where our hopes were for how these two would fit in this system. Disappointing night for both Pulisic and McKennie.
Pulisic was, I mean, he's always going to be a little bit wasteful. He's going to take people on and not win every single duel. But disappointing from him. Do you think maybe he would be better on the wing in Jordan Morris's spot?
Oh yeah, 100%. I don't necessarily think that we should just abandon the experiment of Pulisic in the middle, but I've always sort of thought he would be more effective in the wing. And I think there was another sort of characteristic of him playing in the central position popped up tonight, and that was the beating he took. Every time the ball would get up to him, I mean he was getting like just cracked in the back of the leg. And I think he eventually. They said, I believe, that he came off injured, or with an injury. And I don't think it was anything serious. But that's gonna. I mean, those are gonna add up. Those collisions are gonna add up for him if we keep running him at the 10 in
Yeah.
CONCACAF.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do if I were a CONCACAF coach coaching against him. I just every time he got it, and he was more than 40 yards away from the goal, I would blow him up.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's going to happen. It happened to him in World Cup qualifying too. So
And you
let
can hit him. You can hit him really like you can hit him over and over again, and none of the fouls are going to be really egregious. Sometimes you can hit him without even really fouling him. You just kind of clock him at af just after he's released the ball, like laid it off backwards. You just give him a little bit of a reminder. And again, those just all add up. Whereas if you get him on the wing in the Jordan Morris spot, he's going to beat you. And then if you foul him, you're taking a yellow card because it's one of those. It's a clear tactical foul. So it just sets up like even if he is going to get fouled in the wing, it's going to be there you're it's going to put defenders on a really tight leash after they fouled him once or twice.
Yeah. How much of a mulligan do you give him and maybe even McKennie because of how low of a block Ecuador was in and how little space there was to operate in?
A little bit. There's a little bit of a mulligan for them. Or you just have to say that when you play a team like that, they can't play as the tens because Ariola and Morris had plenty of space to operate in despite the low block. And then you just don't know if it's because Ecuador doesn't respect them enough to take their space away and they'd rather keep everything tight on Pulisic, or if we'd swap those guys, if we'd swap Pulisic and Ariola or if Pulisic would have been afforded the same amount of space.
Well, Morris and Ariola didn't demand respect. Neither of them. I mean, Ariola was in some good spots, and I'm not saying Morris had a horrible game, but neither of them could beat their guy 1v1. And you, it seems like we need those wingers in this system with that amount of space to be able to eliminate a guy, right? I mean, that's what we
Yeah,
need
and
from that position.
honestly, the highlight of the game, like the best moment of the game, was Pulisic doing Antonio Valencia when Pulisic finally got the ball on the sideline, right? That was the most exciting play that made you like enjoy yourself.
Yeah, although Pulisic then immediately, his it, nothing came of it.
He earned a corner. I don't even
Okay.
remember if that one earned a corner.
I
But
can't
yeah.
remember either.
But you can see the difference there. You can see what happens when Pulisic is 1v1 with a guy on the sideline versus when Ariola or Morris was. It makes you wonder, and I think we'll see it at some point. We might not see it in this window, but I don't think Berhalter is married to Pulisic as the 10. I think he'll get a fair look, and hopefully we see a little more danger in the next game. But either way, I think it shows that there's opportunities for Pulisic to improve us by playing on the wing.
Okay, so moving along, Tim Ream. We talked about his aerial inabilities in this game. What did you think of him overall? He was the captain of the side.
Captain of the side, Premier League starter, tons of experience, but he still made the biggest mistake of the game too when he passed the ball directly to a center forward for Ecuador behind our lines, and Brooks had to slow it down enough for Ream to come back and clean it up.
Yeah, and luckily that was an 18-year-old center forward who didn't do probably what he could have done with that situation. Turned essentially a 1v1 with the goalkeeper into a giveaway with his back to the goal.
So that's where I'm like, I don't have time for the experience arguments for players. Like if experience mattered, then Tim Ream doesn't hit that pass. Like,
Yeah, that if that pass was inexcusable, and it came, what, like 3 minutes after his assist.
yes. His game-breaking assist. No, it was a good ball into Zardes as he found the right
It
pass
was a good pass. It
from Tim
was.
Ream. Yeah.
So then the question is, who's the better option at that spot? I mean, the Daniel Lovitz could be floated by some people, or Anthony
I
Robinson.
don't know. I mean, the job requirements aren't that difficult. You know, I mean, like Ream. Didn't you could improve on Ream just by being able to win the ball in the air, and just connect your passes. That's all he was asked to do. Ream didn't really break any lines. The ball into Zardes was like a transition moment, so it wasn't like we were building around the back and Ream picked out a pass that split four defenders.
Right.
It was like a looped ball that caught Ecuador out, and he just had a giant window into Zardes and a ton of space.
Right.
I don't know. To answer you, I don't know who the best candidates for that are. I think that's going to be one of the big questions for Berhalter. Is it though? Is it even a big question, Bells? Like, because of what we ask from that position, could we just throw Lovitz in there and be fine?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure Lovitz would be any better in the air. I mean, I think in the group chat you mentioned maybe Aaron Long there.
Yeah,
And
I'd still like Long there and Miazga in the right center back role.
yeah, that makes some sense. And then the question is Miazga as well equipped as Long is to sort of cover all that space when Adams vacates it in the current system? He could probably do it.
One of those things where I guess it's worth trying. I'm not super committal on any of them. I want John Brooks on the field.
Yeah. So let's talk about John Brooks a little bit. He had a good game, I thought. Good decisions. He didn't find himself in 1v1 situations, which is where he is least effective, I would say, as a defender. But his passing really changes the way we play, I think. His ability to pick a pass between the lines. And also his, I guess you don't refer to a center back as a metronome very often, but he does have a metronomic effect on the team. I think his distribution is just good all the way around.
Yeah, and it's I almost want to lump him and Long together because between him and Long, and then Adam is entrapped right ahead of him. We were just very consistent. We're very much in control. There was never a danger of some kind of just ill-advised giveaway.
Yeah. Who else should we talk about? Tyler Adams. Is he man of the match for you? Again, I think a lot of people are saying that.
I think so. Just because of the role he's asked to play is a little bit more demanding than what Trapp is asked to do. Otherwise, it'd probably be, I mean, Adams and Trapp were for me the best players for us.
Yeah.
Brooks and Long also didn't really put a foot wrong, but they weren't nearly as involved because of the way the game flowed.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge Trapp Will Trapp fan, but I think this was a good game to showcase what Will Trapp can do against opponents who aren't really going to come at us that much, which could be the bulk of our CONCACAF competition.
Yeah. If he has a lot of time and space, he seems to be pretty good. And he put in some important tackles too. He doesn't look the part of a world-class number six, especially on defense. I don't think that's going to change, but he had a good game. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I thought his biggest mistake was sliding into that challenge that may have been what ended up having causing him to have to leave the game injured later. That reminded me of like a Stuart Holden Johnny Evans collision. Trapp really left himself vulnerable
Oh,
sliding in the
yeah.
way he did.
Yeah, he did. That guy came in, and I'm surprised that wasn't a yellow card. I know on the broadcast, Taylor Twellman said it was a clean tackle, but if Trapp gets to the ball first and the other guy comes through Trapp's legs, I'm not sure that qualifies as a clean tackle for me. Anyway, we don't excel at reviewing referee decisions on this podcast.
I just don't want Trapp's legs in. I mean, he got his leg almost snapped in the Mexico friendly too. So I don't know what it is about Trapp finding himself in those positions.
Yeah. You know, one guy who never seems to find himself in a position where he's going to get hurt is Tyler Adams. Like you said earlier, the game, we really dominated the game once he started tucking inside. And he had a pass, which I tweeted out in the middle of the game, a pass through the lines to Pulisic. One of the few times when Pulisic received the ball and got a little bit of a head of steam, that was the kind of pass we're looking for from Tyler, I think. Did you see that pass?
No, I haven't seen that. I'm not sure which one. I'm sure I saw it, but I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
It eliminated
But
like half of the Ecuador defense, and
I've
Pulisic.
been telling you, Bells. I think he can hit him. I think he just never. It's never his pass to make in games for Leipzig.
Yeah,
But
that's
I think
true.
he's got that in him. He hit a diagonal in like the 76 minute, and then shortly after that, hit another. I mean, it was a simple, like, just vertical ball up, I think, to Roldan's feet between the lines, but it still like takes a little bit of courage to trust that you can split a couple of defenders, and if you do mess up, they're going to be countering straight back at you. So, I was impressed with him with his decision making and his execution pretty much all game.
Yeah, it seems like no matter where he plays, he's gonna be good. He's gonna be an asset. He's gonna be close to man of the match,
Yes.
wherever he
Yep.
plays. Zardes, I guess we already covered him.
Yeah, Zardes and Morris and Areola, like they still just feel like placeholders to me, all three of them. I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh. Zardes wasn't. None of them did anything really egregiously bad, but they also don't necessarily add to your bottom line.
Right. Well, I would say the only pushback I'd have on that is Zardes did have three or four nice little combinations, or at least combinations that yielded something. There was one like right before Pulisic came off where he laid it off for Pulisic, who was running into the box, and then Pulisic kind of fell over.
That was a solid decision. I still think he might have like Botched his first touch, but then he recovered it well and did put that ball in Pulisic's path intentionally. So definitely a
Good on
positive from
him.
Zardes there.
Good on him.
But I want that in a game where we have 62% of the possession and it's all in the opponent's half. Like, it can't be where, I mean, I think Tielemans said his first touch was 26 minutes into the game. That's what I mean about him not doing enough to actually contribute. Like, when he did contribute, it wasn't negative, but I'm hoping that we have forwards in the stable who can make those passes, but make them 9 or 10 times in a game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just think maybe part of the reason his first touch came in the 26th minute is that McKennie didn't create anything, in the position behind him, and Pulisic, didn't create much. I don't know.
That's fair. That's fair. I think his first involvement was like one of our best scoring chances. Was that the Areola attempt? I think it
Yeah,
was,
the
based
Areola
on your
one.
timeline.
1.5 XG shot
All
from the penalty marker.
right, so Zardes is going for quality, not quantity, but I just feel like we have forwards who can offer both.
Yeah, I think Josh Sargent and Jozy Altidore would both be more of an asset in the build up and at finishing, frankly.
So that's another reason that I'm really like kind of excited about the overall play, because the system still seemed to work, and I know in my heart that Berhalter believes there are better players to work into the system over the next 2 months.
I know it in my heart too.
It's all I have, Bells.
Yeah. You gotta protect your heart, let's see. Overall, you're pretty pleased.
I'm very pleased. I think the big thing about Berhalter's system is that it sort of creates this floor for players who are competent, that they kind of can't end up looking bad. Like, no one can look bad. It's why when Yedlin went in for Morris, like, there wasn't really any change. There was no like drop off, or they both were able to, because they're in the positions they're in, making the movements they're making, they're effective, or they're at worst neutral.
Yeah, I thought Roldan put in a nice few little minutes there. Same for Yedlin. Hard to take too much from their performances, but
I still like LeJet's performance best out of the subs.
okay.
Thought he
Why? What did
still
you like
offered.
about Legette?
I thought Roldan was actually still sloppy. Roldan actually seemed like a very net zero change from McKennie, because I thought Roldan was pretty sloppy too. We found him a couple of times between the lines, and he botched his touch a couple of times to lose possession. Whereas I thought LeJet actually like created things either for himself or for the next man
Yeah.
when he would get involved.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe we'll see him next to Pulisic in this next game, or I don't know. I don't know if how wedded Berhalter is to having Legette be the sub at the 10, and
Right.
if these guys learn both positions at these camps or what. Because
Otherwise, we're assuming we're looking at Roldan, right, for this next game. I mean, I don't know if he's planning on making huge like wholesale changes to the lineup, but if he's just swapping McKennie out, then the natural switch would be Roldan.
you'd think so, yeah. So that takes a little bit of the shine off the Chile friendly, but that's okay. That's okay.
It's an opportunity for Roldan, is what it is.
Ideally, it would be legit, and then I don't know what would be ideal. Maybe it'd be more ideal to put Pulisic on the wing.
Wouldn't hate that. Man, you don't know if these guys have picked up even minor knocks. Like, I think Berhalter is smart enough to leave them all out, so we might not see Pulisic or McKennie or. Brooks took a knock there at the end when Ream collided into him somehow.
Timmy Ream, come on. So prayers for Weston, prayer thoughts and prayers, whatever the right way to say that is.
Light a
Hopefully,
candle. Light a
yeah,
candle for Weston.
light a candle. Hopefully he's not out for the Gold Cup. That would really suck. And then, prayers for the young generation. We have players who we think might be able to perform that role well, receive the ball in between the lines. Their names are Richie Ledesma and Alex Mendez, but they have a long way to go. So,
Starting tomorrow, right? They play tomorrow. They play today if you're listening to this today.
yeah, right. If you're listening to this on Friday, that's when they play. And I think we may be able to stream some of it. We'll hopefully talk about it.
Yeah, follow Bell's Twitter account. He should tell you if the game's available to be watched.
All right, I shall do so. Anything else on this game?
No, it's I wasn't expecting like a massive step forward. This was an incremental step in a tiny window of a camp, and I think we saw a incremental step.
Okay. I think that's a really it's not the hottest take, but I think it's a good take. It's a good way to close it out. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see ya.